Hi, this is Scott. I really appreciate our sponsors because they make the show possible. Today's show is sponsored by Developer Express. Become a UI superhero with DevExpress, controls, and libraries. Deliver elegant .NET solutions that address customer needs today by leveraging your existing knowledge. You can build next-generation touch-enabled solutions for tomorrow. You can download your free 30-day trial at dx.hanselminutes.com. That's dx.hanselminutes.com.
From hanselminutes.com, it's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 518. In this episode, Scott talks with maker and robotics enthusiast Simone Yetch.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes. Today, I'm talking with Simone Yetch, who is calling in from Sweden. How are you?
I'm good. Kudos on pronouncing my last name correctly.
Oh, well, I've only been practicing for the last hour, so thank you very much. So, your last name is spelled G-I-E-R-T-Z, and that's something that we can find you on Twitter and on YouTube. Do you consider yourself a YouTuber?
I think I changed my title like other people change socks, but right now I'm going with inventor and YouTuber.
Nice. Adventuring YouTuber or inventoring?
Inventor.
Okay. And you do Arduino, you do robots, and it seems like one of your robots is going viral right now, isn't it?
I think a few of them have actually gone viral.
What do you think your most famous robot is right now?
It's definitely, I made this alarm clock that slaps you in the face to wake you up. And that one, it depends a little bit, but I think it's around 80 million views. Unfortunately, not on my YouTube channel, and it's on Facebook and they count it a little bit different, but still it's that one just exploded.
That's got to be frustrating though. I understand that when you put a video on YouTube, you get the credit and you get the views and you get the sense of accomplishment. When it goes viral on Facebook, people tend to copy it and then you don't even know how many total views it has.
Yeah, it's a little bit like that, but I'm okay with it. I'm just more frustrated that it didn't, because normally I put like a watermark or water stamp on them. So you can kind of see like, oh, this is Simone Yetch. But I didn't do that with that one. So it's just like kind of floating out there all alone and people can't find me.
Mm. So this one robot that slaps you in the face, it hangs on your wall, the alarm goes off, and then basically it spins and it hits you. When you make a robot like that, is it mostly for the gag and the building and the joy of the building, or are there robots that you have built and kept and they have become a part of your life and they're being used regularly?
I think that's such a funny, I've done a lot of different interviews and people always, I mean, I always crack up when people are like, are your projects for fun?
Or like, no, I know it's for fun.
Are they supposed to be serious?
But some of them are awesome.
No, thanks.
Like the Spanish talk show you did, you know, that was like bad, but you know.
But it's funny, somebody asked me, like, how often do you use your toothbrush helmet? So basically, I made put a robot arm on a helmet and added a toothbrush to it, and it brushes my teeth, but it only does the front teeth. It's kind of violent. And I'm just like, it just cracks me up that people think that I actually use these. I've actually never used the wake up machine to wake up in the morning.
So I feel bad that you're saying that it's not a unique question to ask, do you ever use these?
Obviously,
no, it's fine. Obviously you don't. But I want you to also recognize that seems to be the most useful of them. Like, I'm thinking to myself, I could use a robot that slaps me in the face to wake me up.
It's probably the one that's most requested to buy too, I think.
People want to buy them.
Yeah. It always cracks me up, but they want to buy them or want me to build one for them that's like special in some way that like it slaps you when you snore or anything like that.
Maybe you need to make an art installation where people can come and see them all in one place.
I think like I've been thinking about like art installation and museum and stuff like that, because I have like a fair collection of projects I built now. but they're all kind of brittle. I don't think that they would, like, if you take them out like that, they really got to last for a long time.
So that's interesting that you bring that up, because I feel like when I do making stuff and I'm sitting here with, I've got like 5 Arduinos to my right and a bunch of relays to my left, and I'm you know, surrounded by all this stuff, and I'll go and I'll build something.
Sounds like an R&B song.
Yeah.
That's actually, I have Arduinos to my right, some relays to my left. What up?
That is pretty nerdy, actually. We should drop the track after the show. So I'm thinking about all this stuff, and I'm like, you know, I build things and I get them to work, and I have that LED moment where it's like, it worked, but then I realize that it probably works twice, and then it's really so fragile that it breaks apart. So getting it to work and getting it to be a real thing that you could keep going for, and it could keep being functional, I think is a big difference.
Yeah, I think, and also it's just not fun in the same way.
Making it work versus making it work well.
Yeah. I think I just kind of like doing it where it's like, okay, it has to work like 5 times. Like that's kind of the limit. Or I think I have like 10 times for my robots. It just has to work 10 times and then it's kind of okay. Like, and that's just fine. But when you start getting into like, oh, where is there like tension built up somewhere? Or to me, that just kind of brings the joy out of it. I just want it to work like a set amount of times and then I can just leave it and build the next thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this means that you are, do you have a job? I should ask you that. But if you had a job, you would be like chief inventor. You'd come up with a concept. You'd blow everyone's mind. You'd sell it to the CEO, and then you'd give it to the engineer whose job it is to like make it work. But you had the brilliant idea, and then you move on to the next brilliant idea.
But I also want to build the prototype.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, that, well said. Yeah. The prototype. Yeah. You're the prototyper.
I'm the prototyping person. Yeah, I think it's just like, I'm not a very structured person. I'm much better with prototypes because it's just like quick and dirty. It's just going to work. Mm-hmm. And then I can do that. And then somebody else can actually figure out how to make it work long term.
So I'm looking at some of these gifts, and one of the ones, the one of the Spanish talk show that was a couple of months ago, you took this, you have the helmet and it basically brushes your teeth. How much is going on there? Is it simply is there an Arduino, or is it just a motor with some gears? How complicated is a kind of a mid-level invention like that compared to?
It's funny with that, because in that talk show, it's actually not me using it. So I brought it to the Spanish talk show and I'm thinking that I'm going to demo all of my projects. But then there's just like this other girl who gets to show them. So she actually, and like, I've never actually washed that toothbrush. So she's basically just using my toothbrush. I didn't tell her about it. But something like the toothbrush helmet was actually really straightforward, because I didn't build the arm itself. Like the robot arm itself was a finished robot arm kit that I just kind of mounted on a skateboard helmet and put a toothbrush on it. So that one was actually really simple.
Okay. So for people who are listening and are thinking that they want to build something, not all of these kinds of things are going to involve programming and soldering. Sometimes it's just having the boldness to put 2 things together or 3 things together and go for it.
Yeah, I think almost all of them incorporate some sort of programming.
Okay. But the toothbrush doesn't.
The toothbrush one does.
Oh, it does.
Have programming. Yeah. It's controlled by an Arduino board.
Oh, okay. So talk to me about that. What's involved.
So I just used an Arduino Uno and like a servo motor shield, and just used that to control the servo motors in the robot arm. And I just program it to do like this little brushing sequence that I have. So it's nothing very complicated. And I think like if somebody wanted to build it, my sketch or the program that I used is online. So you could just download it and upload it to their own toothbrush helmet. But I think almost all of them involve programming. Not all of them involve soldering. A lot of breadboard action going on too.
Really? And, you know, again, that gets to the point about prototyping versus, you know, shipping a finished product. When you're inventing and you're playing, you know, you don't have to overthink it, do you? You just have to, like, have fun and get it to work. And a breadboard is an okay thing to use, I guess.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you always got to think about what your purpose of building stuff is. And to me, it's just like, I mean, I have a lot of fun when I build stuff, but it's also, I mean, I just want to make like fun, interesting content for people. And then it doesn't need to be something that I can actually send to a factory and be like, hey, make 20,000 of these.
Mm-hmm. So
even though that would be kind of funny, I would just want the reply. I wonder what they would write back.
So is the payoff for you the replies and the interaction with people on YouTube?
I think it's a part of it, most definitely. But a lot of the interactions are just like, meh. I mean, I think the most common comment I get is like, marry me. And to me, that's just like, oh gosh. I mean, it just doesn't mean anything. It really doesn't mean anything. But then you get the occasional, like, I had this like 8-year-old girl email me and be like, hey, I also want to be an inventor, and like sending me photos of her projects and stuff like that. So occasionally you get one of those, or like people who are electrical engineers who are like, hey, you inspire me like at my work. Or like, hey, you got me to like bring out my Raspberry Pi that's been sitting in my closet for the longest time. So those are kind of the ones that actually make it worth it, or that I like feel in my heart. But a lot of them are, you're just like, man, okay. Yeah, it's just a person. It's just commented some bullshit, something. Sorry. I promise not to cuss.
It's all good. It's all good. Yeah.
Some
it's
interesting. So
I have never had a marriage proposal. And that is the thing about the internet, though. I retweeted one of my colleagues. There's a woman in Austin who does some amazing work, and she made a video, and I hit retweet, and it was like elapsed time, 3 minutes before someone commented on how pretty she was, and not the like amazing piece of content that she created. While I churn out content regularly, and the worst I've ever had is someone said, why did you wear that shirt 2 days in a row?
Yeah, it's, I mean, I always try to shy away from talking about what it's like being a woman in tech, because I think that there are so many people who do it a lot better than me, and it's also not my main focus. But there are definitely differences in like the response you get.
Yeah.
And I mean, 90% of my subscribers are men. And I think the vast majority are, I think 90% are men between 25 and 34. So. Yeah,
it sounds like people on YouTube, though. I mean,
maybe that's the thing. but yeah, definitely majority dudes, and also the content I make. I mean, it's unfortunately a lot of dudes who are interested in robotics and not as many girls.
Well, hopefully, we'll do what we can to fix that. So, what I want to talk about is the first time you built something, that first LED moment, and you had a better name for the LED moment.
I call it my love at first blink, because
that's
I remember it so clearly, because I got in my first Arduino Uno, and I had this really grand idea. I wanted to build like a physical website and move stuff over the internet, whatever. I never actually got around to building it, but I just really remember I had that moment where I was like, I made that tiny little LED blink on the Arduino board. And I tried it, and I changed the duration, and it like blinked a little bit slower, and it was really love at first blink.
How old were you? When was this?
23.
Uh-huh.
So I'm 25 now. So it was 2 years ago. I'd never held a soldering iron 2 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, so you paused a little bit, and I want to talk about that for a second. You paused a little bit like that was not something to be proud of. Like, there are people who, I guess, solder at age 4, maybe. I don't know if we're giving toddlers soldering irons right now. But there's lots of things that I think people start when they're 20 or they're whatever. So you weren't soldering at 10.
I was not soldering at 10.
And how did you find yourself on that day when you're 20, putting a light together and go, or 22, going, putting a light together and going, oh, wait a second. Like, were you at a... walk me through that.
It was actually a kind of... I never thought that I would kind of have that thing where it's like, okay, this is actually what I really want to do. But I just really, like, the first time I played with an Arduino, I was like, okay, this is what I actually really want to do. It was, I just knew for sure that it was what I wanted to work with, and just working with building. Yeah.
And but 20 minutes before, you didn't know what an Arduino was, or you did?
I'd actually got in because I had this idea of this physical website, and it took me about 2 months before I found Arduino. I had like, it was just like the weirdest detour because I didn't really know anyone who was into electronics. So I didn't have anyone who could guide me. But I remember like I contacted this because like I wanted it's like somebody pressed a button on a website. I wanted like a motor in real life to move. And I remember that I'd seen this website where you could play with cats in a cat shelter online. So you could like go into a live broadcast from one of their rooms and you could like move the toys that they had there. And I like contacted that company and was like, hey, how have you built this? And they were like, yeah, it's kind of secret. We could do it for you, but I think it'll be around. Yeah. Yeah. They were like, we're the only company who actually does this. And I think they gave me like an, like they were like, yeah, we could do one for you for like $10,000. And I was like, okay. Yeah. And I remember I was looking at like getting like, for some reason, I was looking into getting like one of these electrical pencil sharpeners or, that you like, that was on a USB port. And I was like, oh, can I control the power to the USB port over the internet? So I was just like very, like going on this crazy detour. And then I just had somebody who was like, hey, but haven't you checked out Arduinos? And that was when I got myself an Arduino starter kit. So I think in some way I was like mentally prepared for getting blown away because it was something that I'd been looking for without knowing that that was the thing I was looking for. So I was probably more like susceptible to having that like, but it was actually that kind of feeling.
Your brain was ready for it. And like,
my brain was ready for it. And most of all, I think like, because I've been thinking about this, like, what would have happened if somebody would just have put an Arduino in my lap and been like, oh, hey, this is a cool thing. You can do cool stuff with it. And I think like probably I would have been like, oh yeah, that is a cool thing. But when it was something I had been looking for it and it just meant that like when I found it, it just got to me a lot more.
This episode of Hansel Minutes is brought to you by Braintree, code for easy online payments. If you're building a mobile app and you're searching for a simple payment solution, check out Braintree. The Braintree V.0 SDK makes it easy to offer multiple mobile payment types, so you can start accepting PayPal, Apple Pay, Bitcoin, Venmo, credit cards, and more, all with a single integration. One small snippet of code and you're set up in less than 10 minutes. If you don't have time, you can give them a call. They'll even handle the integration for you and walk you through it. The SDK supports 7 languages, .NET, Node, Java, Perl, PHP, Python, and Ruby, elegant code, clear documentation. To learn more and for your first $50,000 in transactions fee-free, go to braintreepayments.com/Hanselman. That's braintreepayments.com/Hanselman.
Do you have a favorite Arduino? Like I was messing with one yesterday and I got it from Intel. They gave me a box of a couple of Arduinos and I thought it was an Uno and it's not. It's like an Intel Curie. So it's I think it's basically an Uno with a gyroscope built in.
Oh, cool.
And so it's got like, and it's got Bluetooth and a gyroscope, but otherwise it's indistinguishable from an Arduino. But there was a moment there where I had no idea why this wouldn't work. I was freaking out. And then I was like, oh, there's like 50 different kinds of Arduinos. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it's kind of a jungle. I think
Do you have a favorite?
I mean, the Arduino that I've worked the most with is called the Light Blue Bean, and that is because I worked at a company that makes them. So after I had my like Arduino moment, I started just building a lot of stuff, and then I got a job as a maker in residence at a company in San Francisco. They make an Arduino board that's called the Light Blue Bean, which has Bluetooth Low Energy. And it's just like this really cute teal colored thing. And I think that, I mean, I must probably say that one. I don't work there anymore, so I'm not getting paid to say this in any way. But it's just like the one that I've used the most. And that's kind of a home Arduino. But otherwise, I just like the Volvo of Arduino, which is the Arduino Uno. I think it's a trooper.
One of the things that's cool about the Light Blue Bean and some our little tiny boards like it is right, they're Arduinos, but they're super tiny and they have a battery like on them. Yeah. Does that make design a lot simpler?
I think it, the light blue bean runs off of a coin cell battery. So it's kind of nice if you want to make, and it has like a built-in accelerometer, temperature sensor, and it's just a very nice thing if you want to make wearables. But I think it kind of runs out of batteries quickly. Like if you run it on a coin cell battery, it's going to be out in a couple of days or weeks, depending on how you use it. So I'm not sure how useful that would actually be long-term, but it's still, it opens up new possibilities.
When I'm making stuff, I have like my go-to project that I make over and over again. So like I have this garage door that I always leave open. I drive away with the garage open. So I want to make a thing that has an accelerometer and I tape it to the garage door. The garage door opens, the thing rotates, and then it texts me to say, you left the garage door open. So every time a new thing comes out, whether it be a blue bean or whether it be a photon or whatever, a Raspberry Pi, I make that same project over and over again to see how easy it was. Do you have a go-to project, which is the one you make over and over again to see how to test new stuff?
No, I haven't. And I haven't actually, I've actually not got into using that many. I'm very, rather than being like, oh, I want to try out this new gadget, I'm very, oh, I want to build this stuff or this thing. Like, I just need to find the best platform to use it. So I don't really have that process of trying stuff out. I'm just very like focused on the thing that I currently want to build.
Interesting. Okay. So you've decided Arduino is your platform, and now that you understand Arduino, then you move up to the next level of abstraction and you start thinking about the thing you want to build, because now that's your preferred pencil.
I think, yeah, probably. And I mean, I need to think outside of the Arduino box a little bit, because there are sometimes when I've used them in projects where I don't actually need to. Like, for example, in the wake-up machine, I would have actually not had to use one, but I put one in there because I'm just like, oh, of course you need it. But yeah, it's kind of, yeah, that's kind of my pencil. But at the same time, I think, I mean, I have a lot of projects that I'm not sure how I'm going to build. So I don't think I'm very limited to thinking like, oh, this is what I actually know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I was asking the question earlier that might not have been, it may not have sounded clever at the time, but what I was trying to ask about.
No, I wasn't hating on your question.
No, you should hate my question. It's fine. No, what I'm talking about is that the helmet with the toothbrush thing, I assumed it was a motor going in one direction with a gear that was switching directions. So I assumed it was entirely mechanical. And then, in my mind, I designed it one way. And then you said there's an Arduino and you're switching directions using the servo. And then my whole brain kind of rotated 90 degrees because, well, think about it, right? We both are sitting here. We're talking about this solution, this crucial solution that the universe needs, a toothbrush that brushes your face for you. I mean, it's amazing, right? We need to productize this. But I designed it in one way, thinking not Arduino, not in any way computerized. And then you said, well, I've got programming in all my stuff. And that opened my mind. And that's going to influence, that little interaction is going to influence how I make stuff.
But I think it's interesting because you do kind of get stuck with the tools that you know. Or, I mean, you build stuff out of the things you often know. Like, I mean, when I was the first robot I built when I was 8 years old. And that was just, I just had this idea that I wanted to build a robot, but I had no idea how to. So I just got a block of wood and I drilled a hole through it and I put a stick through the hole. And the way it was a robot was that if I twisted the stick in one end, it also moved on the other end. And to me, it's just like a fun thing because like working with wood was the only, I mean, it was the only material that I knew. So I was like, of course I'm going to build a robot out of wood. And maybe we're just grown-up versions of that right now.
I like that. I think we are grown-up versions of life. You know, it's just tall grade school at this point, and that's okay. you've got some great pictures on your Twitter timeline, and one of them, which I totally recognize because I've been there myself, and I think people who are makers have been there, which is the, what in the world do you have in your bag? How much trouble do you have taking like a severed arm and a motor and a helmet with a toothbrush through airport security?
It was a really fun experience because I checked it in a special luggage because the stuff is kind of fragile. And also I was just worried that they were going to give me a mess or that they were going to give me trouble about it. And the guy was just like looking at it and he's like, wait, like what is that? Is that two knives from this like chopping machine I built? And, And he was like,
wait, those are knives?
Are they actually knives? Yeah, they're actually knives. And then I realized I have like the most cartoon version bomb. It's basically like a metal box with a clock attached to it, and that's filled with electronics. And it just looks like this very cartoon version of a bomb. And I was just like, I can explain. And I got to like pitch my YouTube channel. I was like, it was good.
I'm with you on the knives. How did you make it through with knives? Like, they look like actual kitchen knives.
I didn't take it as my carry-on.
Oh, okay. Whew.
I don't think I could even bring an Arduino as a carry-on.
Oh, I've done that before.
Oh, you have? Maybe that's fine.
You really just make up all sorts of stories. They'll believe whatever you say.
Oh,
just
really? What did you say?
Yeah, I'm diabetic. I said it was an insulin pump.
Oh, really?
And they were like, oh, really? And I was like, yeah, it's new. I mean, it's so bad.
Wow.
But, you know, I mean, whatever, right?
Smart.
Like, I have a recorder for my podcasts called a Zoom, and it has microphones that are situated at 245-degree alternating angles. And I had a 30-minute interaction where they refused to admit that it wasn't a taser because of the angles of, you know what I mean? Because it's got these crossover metal pieces that... And I'm like, it's really not a taser. And I ended up realizing that all I needed to do was just record them and play it back. But then I thought to myself, now the bad guys are going to make tasers that can record.
That's hilarious. How stupid did they feel after that?
I probably don't think we should talk about how airport security and their level of stupidity. But it does make one think about, like, when the bad guys learn how to make stuff, like, you know, applause
that
hands
looks like other stuff. Yeah.
Then it's on. Then it's a problem.
That's on.
So what are you making? What are you making right now? Because I'm looking at your video where you're in the Spanish talk show and they're interviewing you. Is that your lab? Is that like your master, like your secret lair behind you?
What? Spanish talk show?
When you're on the talk show, you're like talking and it looks like you're in your kitchen or in your garage somewhere and there's just stuff behind you. I'm curious how neat your workspace is, I think is the meta question.
I have an office, or it's a friend's office where I'm working. Mm-hmm. But right now I haven't had time to build stuff as of late because I've just been replying to emails, which is like the most boring form of work. And I've just had like this, it feels like playing whack-a-mole because like, I just like whack down one email and then it just multiplies. But I'm kind of secret about my project. So I have one thing on the way, but I don't really talk about it.
Okay. That's okay.
Top secret stuff.
No, I totally understood. So, so you've got secret projects. You're always making stuff. Do you ever worry that you might run out of stuff to think about or to invent? Cause I feel like I go in fits and starts.
I don't know. Yeah. Sometimes I can worry about it, but at the same time, I just have a lot of ideas. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably like, one of my everyday superpowers, like boring everyday life superpowers, that I just have this constant stream of ideas. So right now I'm not very worried about it, but maybe after some time, I'm more worried that I'm going to run out of motivation than ideas.
You know, and just when I think that too sometimes, and then like VR helmets come out, and then I realize that we are living in the future,
yeah,
and that our Arduinos are like $15, and we're living in the future. Like, there's no better time to be making stuff.
Yeah, it's a good time to be alive.
Did you see the video, the little video clip of the woman with her colleague behind her who had a VR helmet on and a leap motion? Our IR controller taped to the front of it, and he was deep in VR world, and she's just kind of mugging at the camera saying, "This is the future."
No, I haven't seen that.
She's a VR scary expert. I'll send it to you. But basically it's starting to make me think about, is technology going to make us more social or less social? You know,
I think social in a different way. Probably.
Yeah. But then there was that picture of Zuckerberg walking by everyone who all had those VR helmets on. Like, we're going to be standing next to each other. Like, right now, we'll sit next to our significant other and text them on the couch. We're going to do that with VR?
But it's a different form of communication. I mean, maybe your text can reveal or contain stuff that you can't do in words. You have emojis in texts.
Yeah.
You don't have spoken emojis yet.
Ooh, that's an idea. You should patent that. That's a really yeah. spoken emojis.
You know what? How do we bring emojis into our everyday lives or into like the face-to-face interaction? No, but I think people are social. Mm-hmm. It's just that the way that we hang out is going to change. And also, I just really hope that people won't fall in love with AI.
Really? You're worried about AI more than VR. Why? What is it about AI that's scary?
I think VR, I mean, it's still, or not, I don't know. I think it's, as long as it's like human interaction, it feels like in the foundation, human interaction is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like we do good stuff when we interact with each other. But I think mm-hmm. if you just get stuck in something with like, what if all you did was hang out with an AI?
Oh, wow. Maybe. You're right. No, but because
I'm being conservative.
Her. Did you see that movie?
Yeah, exactly.
It was disturbing because he spent the entire movie alone.
Yeah, he's so alone. But maybe you can have like a good giving relationship with something like that. But it's just to me, I mean, like, I just know that what actually the stuff that makes me happy is like the people around me that I like and making them happy. But maybe you can get that same exchange with a robot. I'm not sure. I'm not getting it from my robots yet, though.
Yeah. Well, apparently not if they're slapping you in the face every morning.
They're all kind of violent and mean.
So, okay. So you've got secret projects coming. You've just hit 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. So yes. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
That's, I guess all the money starts rolling in now. So congratulations on that.
Oh,
that's pretty amazing.
I wish.
And you said that you were a maker in residence. That's an amazing title. Was that basically like, please go and play and have fun in our lab?
Yeah, it was just, my job was just to build cool stuff using their product.
What a dream job.
Yeah, it was a pretty good one.
That is fantastic.
It was good because like, and also it was great because I didn't know that much about electronics. So it was just like school for me because I learned so much from working in a team of electrical engineers.
Really? Wow. That is amazing. How do others get to do that kind of stuff? I think that working with others is so important. Like people who are listening and thinking about making, how much do you think that they can do just alone in their garage versus how much should they find someone to pair with and, you know, a friend to just sit there and hold the soldering iron and help?
I think it's nice to have company. Mm-hmm. I think you can do a lot of stuff by yourself. I mean, it all depends on how, in what context you work best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always felt that pairing, though, for me is the two people makes you three times as productive. But I think everyone's different.
I think I'm actually less productive with other people because I just get very excited about being around people and want to make them laugh. And I don't know. I think it's kind of nice for me when I'm alone because then I can just kind of get into like the sitting like this soldering zen.
Very cool. Well, I really appreciate you chatting with me today. This is exciting, and the stuff that you build makes me smile, and it also reminds me that not everything that I make needs to be like perfectly useful and productizable. And it's a reminder that we really are just making stuff to have fun.
It's a good reminder.
So people can check you out online, and this has been Simone Yetch. Thanks so much. We'll see you again next week.